Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Jim Fournier. Jim Fournier has over 20 years' experience in digital identity and distributed data. He was the geometry partner with Silicon Graphics in the early 90s, and in 2000 produced the Planet Work Conference in San Francisco. That launched a community that published a seminal white paper on social networks in 2003. He has also invested in a key social patent resulting in founder shares in LinkedIn. For a decade, he served on the board of XDI.org, seeking to create an open protocol for permissioned internet data exchange. In 2015, he and his technical partner realized how to actually do it and founded J-Link. In 2019, he started building True on the J-Link tech stack. Well, good afternoon, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here, Jim, this evening. I do appreciate it. So, Jim, we're going to jump into the questions. You've got an interesting background, so let's get right into it. Your background's in technology, leadership, entrepreneurship, and now you're the CEO for True. Can you share with our audience what drives you and what has contributed to your success?
I've had a background both in technology and sustainability, and that's led me down a number of paths. About 20 years ago, I founded a conference called Planet Work, which was focused on using IT for sustainability. And it brought together people in the year 2000 that were looking for meaning after the dot-com and led to a whole conversation about social networks before Facebook, before LinkedIn, and a kind of vision of how could we use technology to address the really hard problems in the world. So that community set me off on a path working on technology, distributed data technology. And a few years ago, we had a breakthrough and figured out how to solve a problem that this community had been working on for almost a decade and created something called J-Link. And then we've cycled around finally to using J-Link to build a social network platform. It feels that we're finally at a moment where society has woken up to a lot of the problems inherent in a social media based on a business model that basically spies on people. And there's real appetite for something else. And we've been thinking about it for 20 years and working for 6 years to build it. What makes True different is that we're really creating an environment where people connect with each other in real social groups, where they know each other, or at least persistently know it's the same people. And then groups can subscribe to groups. We call them hubs. And so a hub has an internal forum that's a social space, and then the hub publishes its best content, and other hubs can subscribe. And this way, we let groups of people filter information for each other, and then individual users can decide what hubs they want to subscribe to and get good quality content without an algorithm.
Again, that's another piece of, I call disruptive technology, that people are coming together and making society better and holding some higher ethical standards around how we share information online. So thanks again, Jim. I appreciate that. And Jim, this question is around 2020 and 2021, right? Everybody globally has had to make major shifts to adapt to this new normal. Could you share with us what you're doing to help your organization stay relevant in the economy?
We're launching True still under the COVID pandemic, which we think is a good time. We're still in beta, but it's a time when people are forced to be online more. But we're also really aiming at providing a kind of an infrastructure that people can use across organizations and across their lives, and both for live events when they come together in a conference, but then to continue to connect with each other in an ongoing way. And we're really seeking to do this at a level of quality that people can use in a professional context where you really can't use existing social media. And frankly, most organizations won't.
Amazing. And Jim, I do appreciate your response on that. And I think it's important that we've all are being agile and being able to meet the demands of this pandemic and what our customers' needs are. So I appreciate you sharing that. So Jim, we're going to jump into my question really that I like is really around technology. You're obviously leveraging some new and emerging technologies in your tech stack. Is there anything you could possibly share with us that's not non-proprietary or confidential?
Yeah, I mean, most of what we're doing is really at this point not confidential. The tech stack is built on something called J-Link. And J-Link is a way of exchanging data between completely different systems with permission. There's a lot of talk after blockchain about things being decentralized or distributed, but what that really means for the tech community that I've been involved with for almost 20 years is, can we move data between entirely different systems under agreements that control how that data can be used by the recipient? And so J-Link is a breakthrough we had about 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, how to write these agreements in JSON, in basically JavaScript, and sign them with standard PKI, and then write an audit record to any log ledger or blockchain. Usually it's more just a hash graph. And we went out and built a full solution to GDPR based on this, where people can share their personal data with an entity and the individual retains control about what's allowed to be done with specific data and permissions on it. So you could throw a switch and say, you know, you can't have this email anymore, or, you know, here's my new email, and push it to all of the companies that have this relationship. So at scale, it offers perhaps the only viable way of really solving GDPR. And at scale, it would be tremendously beneficial to the Fortune 5000, who actually spend about $3 trillion a year in the US alone, according to Harvard and IBM, on bad data quality. So we talk about data as something that, you know, people are upset about because it's being kind of extracted and in many ways misused. But for much of the large enterprises in the world, data quality is actually a huge problem. So that's the J-Link layer of the tech stack. You could think of J-Link as protecting you as an individual from bad actors. I mean, it's actually helping the large companies in the long run. With True, we've gone to a different side of the problem. If that was what we call privacy, True is more around what's technically called data provenance, but in popular language, it's kind of called fake news. The idea that there's just an awful lot of completely bogus lies and disinformation on the internet, on social, and people are really hungry now for an alternative. So True is built on top of J-Link, and then it creates a signed chain, not a blockchain, but a signed sort of trail, chain of custody, showing who posted something originally, where it was published and republished across the network. And then that identity is also anchored in a way where you can have reputation and you can have reputation verifiers. And so we can build up a whole ecosystem of data or information verification and validation that can really provide a solution to what we're facing online with the social media crisis.
I think that's amazing. And Jim, I'm very supportive of that particular technology. As you said, the chain of custody, as long as, you know, there is some way that that can't be broken or compromised, I think this is amazing. Because like you said, doesn't matter where you go, politically, left, right, doesn't matter. There's a lot of fake news out there. And it would be nice to have some good, valid information that people can digest and know that, and they're confident that it is actually verified. So thank you for sharing that. I'm very interested to follow this project more, as a matter of fact. So Jim, let me jump into the last question. Everybody wants to know a little bit more about Jim. Can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in either technology or entrepreneurship?
Well, I think in some ways, some of the most interesting things that I've done weren't what I thought I was setting out to do. Around the year 2000, I was working on what became social media and digital identity, and identified a key patent that all of what became, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn depended on, and put some money into a tiny little startup that had this patent, really with the intention of keeping it available for those of us that wanted to do other social. And it ended up being acquired by LinkedIn. So I ended up with shares, you know, founder shares in the LinkedIn IPO. So it was an interesting little exercise of setting out to do something with a fairly good intention and accidentally having kind of a windfall from it.
That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing your story here, Jim. Again, I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. You're one of the disruptors in the industries, as far as I'm concerned. I appreciate you sharing your story today. And Jim, it was a pleasure having you on today. I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you. And I look forward to hearing the broadcast.
Bye for now.